Blog Talk Radio.
Hola, mis queridos gamers, this is Nurse Hatchet. You are listening to the Wolf Pack.
You are listening to Full Spectrum Horror.
10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0. Ladies and gentlemen, what you're about to experience may be the most exciting night of your life. Your seat will start rumbling. Your heart will start to pound. But don't be alarmed. Ladies and gentlemen, this is what you came here for. The party starts now. Ladies and gentlemen, coming at you loud, live, and direct from the darkest depths of your imagination. Welcome.
We take you to the Hotel Martinet in Brooklyn, where Bobby Millett and his orchestra are offering a program of dance music.
You're Satan, aren't you?
Oh, boy, I could never sit through this without a couple of beers, you know?
And now, ladies and gentlemen, introducing the seventh member of the Village People.
The horror sex symbol, Christopher Hyland.
He's not just dancing. He's firming his thighs and tightening his buttock.
Oh, man, this is so bad.
I mean, women just, you know, they gravitate towards me. I mean, I don't understand. I think I have a certain kind of magnetism.
The king of splatterpunk, Eric Morse.
A sad, strange little man, and you have my pity.
And now, on with the show.
Radio has changed our lives and possibly saved our lives.
Lotion on its skin. Else it gets the hose again.
like that. That's cool.
All right. You're going to learn today.
Happy ending. Hello, everybody. Yes, it's another episode of, what's the show? Full Spectrum Horror. I am your host, Christopher Hyland. And with me, as always... Yes, it is Eric Morse. Say hello, Eric.
Mr. Potter, have you been leaving the window opened again?
No.
Gordon scares everybody. Alrighty. Oh, Mr. Hyland, I figured out what it was that I was gonna talk about.
What?
You know, I had a slip of the mind. Well, today's a very special day.
Oh, and what's that?
Well, it is May 14th, which is the birthday of the godfather of the slasher film. And you know who that is, right?
Uh-huh. Yeah, I do.
Cool. And who is it?
We both know.
Yeah, but the listeners don't know.
Victor Miller.
Yes, indeed. Mr. Victor Miller, the godfather of the slasher film, the creator of Friday the 13th. Yes, indeed. The man responsible for Jason Voorhees. And if it wasn't for Victor and his creation, you and I would not be here right now doing this show.
Does this mean we have to kiss the Godfather's ring? Or no?
I don't think Victor wears a ring. Actually, no, he doesn't, except for his wedding ring, which, you know, but he'd be amused. You know, I mean, seriously, you know, comic books have Stan Lee, we got Victor Miller. They're almost pretty much, twins.
Twins? No, they're not.
Except Victor doesn't have that cute little mustache.
No.
And the glasses. He does have the glasses.
No.
But he's cute as a button.
Whatever.
Alrighty. So now it's time for our special section
yes.
of the show.
Yes, it is. And...
What is on Christopher's mind? So what is on the horror sex symbol's mind this month?
Okay. All right. Well, it's a two for this month. And you're probably not going to care about this first part, but I'm sure you'll care about the second. Okay. This first part ties into the movie Suicide Squad that's coming out later this year. Now, anyone who knows me knows that I love audiobooks. And the reason that I love audiobooks is because I don't read as much. I mean, I don't read books as fast as I would like to. So, also anyone who knows me knows that there have been a lot of, well, and there will be a lot of classic books being put on audio CD, and there is one that they have been neglected and neglecting. Suicide Squad is based loosely, or however loosely you want to see it, on the novel The Dirty Dozen. And yes, people might not realize, oh, just a movie, or how could there be a book? Well, yeah, I didn't know there was a book until recently.
You didn't? I
yeah,
read
and
it.
It's a rather large book.
Yeah, I know.
So, and it's from, let's see, how old is it? It's 50 years old. And all in all this time, been neglected. And you'd think, with all the marketing that Suicide Squad has been doing, with all the comic books over the past few years, you'd think that the novel would get a fair shake, but it hasn't. But with the movie, I'm sure at some point it will get its day in the sun.
I doubt it.
Now, that's
because
the end of my first part.
Remember when Seven Samurai was... Well, I was going to say The Magnificent Seven was based on Seven Samurai, and
yeah.
Seven Samurai never got a fair shake either.
Well,
so,
I don't know if Seven Samurai is based on a book or not, but...
Yes, it is.
How did I not know that?
Yep.
How do I not know these things? Okay. That's the end of my first part. My second part is about movie sequels and a particular movie franchise. Now, I have this movie idea because everyone knows that the original Poltergeist made a lot of money, and everyone knows that the sequel made a lot less money, specifically double its budget. And because that movie made so much less money than the first movie, what I don't understand is that the third movie was rehashed. The plot was rehashed, but all they did was put it in a different setting.
Mm-hmm.
Now, my idea that I had for the third movie, because the character of Kane was so interesting to the fans, what they could do, or they could have done, is make a prequel and that shows the life of Kane.
Yeah. And they would eventually do that, if these ones weren't idiots like they are.
It would have been a lot more interesting than what they went with the third movie. I think with the right writer and a great actor, it could have been one of the best horror movies of the decade.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, seriously, I mean, if they got me to write it and put Bill Oberst Jr. as young Kane, that would be great.
Oh, God, yes.
Huh? Seriously?
Yes, that would have been perfect. That would be perfect.
Yes, it would have been. Of course, I honestly thought that you, Christopher Island, would say that you were the one that should be writing it.
Oh, well, I don't know about that. It's possible. I mean, I have ideas for future novels, but I don't know if I could put if I could translate them into that.
Okay. Well, anyways, sounds like a good idea. The problem is that they moved on from the original series, and now they did that tacky remake, and usually when they make tacky remakes, they basically just shut off the original series, and that's it.
Yeah.
Which really fucking sucks.
I can't imagine if they would make a sequel to the remake, and if they would bring back Kane. I can't imagine who they would get for that. They would get him, but I can't imagine it would have the same impact. I mean,
no, it wouldn't.
I'm not.
One thing that you mentioned was the fact that Poltergeist 2 made less money, but it also had less budget too.
Yeah.
Than the original Poltergeist. Like a lot of sequels, they cut out almost a third of the budget when they make a sequel.
Yeah.
That's what you don't know. So it was made with a lot less budget, and they expected it to do better, and it didn't. But it did make double its budget, so it was still a success.
Yeah, and they had to cut out a lot of things because Julian Beck died during production, and a lot of the deleted scenes are in the novelization, thankfully. Speaking of the deleted scenes, Fright Rags put an image from one of those deleted scenes onto their recent shirts. So anyone who knows the novelization knows that image of Kane and Carol Ann on the shirt. You're welcome,
yeah,
fans.
Because I showed you the shirt. That was pretty cool. I knew that you'd love that.
I'm going to have to get that sometime.
Oh, definitely. Another thing that I forgot to mention. Here's something that I found out today. Someone from DeviantArt actually put up a version of the, they did a rehash version of the Friday the 13th Mother's Day poster art. They took out they took out the title and stuff, and they put a big 13 on it, but it is Corey Stevens' artwork that was from it. And so, Friday the 13th Mother's Day fans will be able to get a T-shirt. And I think that's great, at least until Corey starts bitching about, the fact that his poster art was stolen. But until then, fans can get a T-shirt with that cover art, because I love it. But that's just me, because I didn't make a cent off of the movie, so who cares? Anyway, so, Mr. Highland, let's talk about Versus.
Yes, I can tell you didn't like it. And with me, slightly less so. But
lucky.
It wasn't all bad. I mean, it wasn't something that I was yelling at the screen, begging for it to end, fighting to shut it off early. It wasn't like that. I mean, it held my interest.
Just that I was sitting there, it was like poke, 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 at me as a writer, because derivations and stuff, it was driving me fucking nuts.
I like that it wasn't a full-on horror movie. I mean, it had a mix of other genres. I mean, I know it was an unintentional comedy, at parts. And it was very much an action film. I mean, I was watching with the action parts. It reminded me of John Woo style, if you've watched enough of his movies.
With me, what I saw is that it was very anime style, very anime, you know, live action anime style. That's what I thought.
Oh, that. No, that didn't come to mind for some odd reason.
Yeah. I mean, you know, anime is in many ways, it crosses genres because it goes a little bit into science fiction, it goes into action, and it goes into horror. So their horror stuff is a lot of action, and it has a little bit of science fiction to it, and that, you know, a little bit over the top. And that's what this film reminded me very much of, is that it was anime style. And what was also the problem with it was because the characters were very anime, over the top, you know, and that, and with live action you have to calm it down a little bit, and they didn't. With this, so it just irked me. Anyway,
well, a lot of it was just very bizarre. A lot of the acting was kind of like, well, even though I'm not I've never really watched any of this, it's kind of like either Mexican or Japanese soap operas. You know?
Yeah. Yeah, it's almost like Telemundo and stuff. That kind of over-the-top stuff. Or some of the Korean stuff. Oh, my God. Some of this Korean paranormal stuff. I mean, I was watching this one that I mean, I almost blew my lunch because I was laughing so hard. Because they just put in this whacked out shit like, oh yeah, it's, you know, to exorcise the demon, you have to stick your finger up their butt.
I'm surprised American movies don't do parodies of that sort of thing. Like, they did, like, make a horror movie in the style of a Mexican soap opera.
Oh, God. God, please, oh, please. That is painful. That is incredibly painful. I mean, I can take a lot of the Korean and the Asian films for that, you know, but this, oh, my God. I mean, shit, you had a guy who was, you didn't know if, you know, you figured he was gay, but he was sticking his tongue out like a lizard. He had these weird fucking gestures and all this, and it was just whacked out. I mean, it was kind of like the guy, you know, the killer in, you know, God, I can't remember the name of the show. Something for Old Men. It was one of the movies that I saw, but anyways, this guy was just over the top, and just I was going, come on, fucking get serious about this. Then you had that other guy who was going around shooting people, and he was whining like a fucking dog. Oh my God. I mean, the hero guy, you know, well, the anti-hero guy, he was halfway decent.
Yeah.
And it just didn't fit right. It was whack, you know, him and the villain, the main villain, were really good. They worked out really good. but it was just these other ones that just and the movie wasn't even really a zombie film, because the thing is that, what, you know, yeah, they had a zombie scene in it.
Yeah, but it was more like an action movie with the zombies mixed in.
Yeah, action stuff with zombie mixed in and reanimated killers. Because these were not your regular zombies. These were intelligent, and they were shooting each other and stuff.
Yeah.
And then of course, they had to throw in this weird-ass thing about portals and all this, and virgin blood and all that, and it was just... Okay, you had to fucking really complicate it with that shit.
I know, they're just throwing as much stuff as they can. I'm thinking, okay, why don't they just throw in everything they can think of, including like the baby metal band or something.
The killer gay robot. Why not?
Yeah, and that.
In there or something. I mean, God, that's what they were throwing into this. And then, of
course,
you know,
there's so much sword
fighting
going on.
Yeah, the sword
fighting. You have more monsters.
And then it's like, oh, yeah, the hero is not a hero because he's evil now, but he used to be good. But now he has to act like a hero when he's an evil, former prisoner killer. And the other guy's this cool fucking megalomaniac guy who wants to open the portals and let the dead through. And they don't make it clear why he wants to. Because, I mean, he says that he wants to become immortal, but the thing is, isn't he already immortal?
Kinda.
Yeah. So why the hell does he need to be more immortal?
Cocaine is a hell of a drug.
What?
Cocaine is a hell of a drug.
Tying into what I said earlier today.
What?
Cocaine is a hell of a drug.
I'm sure it does. I'm sure it does tie into that. Yes, folks. Yes, earlier today I made a post asking, Do you find it that Bugs Bunny attractive when you put on a dress by Girl Bunny? And, of course, I was quoting Wayne's World. But not everyone's seen the movie.
What?
Cocaine is a hell of a drug.
Case in point.
So, anyways, back to Versus.
Mm-hmm.
Which... I can honestly say that the director was on drugs.
What?
Cocaine is a hell of a drug.
The immortal guy, that part, there's a lot of plot holes with him.
Yeah.
I was expecting a lot more sword fighting, but, you know, there was enough. I mean, towards the end, it made up for it.
Yeah, well, you're going up against zombies and using guns and just sitting there blowing them away, shooting at their chest when you're supposed to be shooting them in the head.
Yeah,
I mean,
we're doing that.
And then, of course, you know, you give the zombies guns and have them there shooting at them. Yeah,
but with all that was going on, it wasn't enough. They were being shot in the head, and they were still coming.
Yeah, I know. That's weird. You know, and then of course, you know, you have the female lead in there, the quote-unquote virgin who, I don't know. Did you honestly think she had any kind of personality, Mr. Hyland?
No.
Yeah, neither did I. I mean, honestly, I think she was.
What?
Cocaine is a hell of a drug.
What?
Cocaine is a hell of a drug.
Yeah, definitely. And yes, I do love that, don't you?
Oh, that new joy buzzer you have?
It's wonderful. Anyways, yeah, so...
Yeah, but this movie was recommended to me by, well, at least a bunch of people.
Really?
And... Yeah, and they said it was a fun movie, and I didn't hate it.
Could be called a fun movie. Thanksgiving could be called a fun movie.
Oh, come on, don't tell me you hate Thanksgiving.
Oh, I love Thanksgiving. That is a classic.
That is a great-ass
movie. That is a popcorn fucking eating turkey sandwich movie.
No, you want to know what kind of movie that movie really is? That is a, well, get drunk,
yeah, that's
eating pizza.
Movie.
It is a get drunk, order around a pizza, smoke pot to the point where it's so thick you can cut the smoke with a knife, and everyone's passed out on the floor. That is that kind of a movie.
Of course it is, because it was written and directed by Johnny Johnson, the greatest modern filmmaker. Awesome film. And, of course, you know, we got to put in our plugs for Sharknado 2, which has Tiffany Shepis in it. Sharknado 1 is
those. Yeah. I'm not touching those movies.
Why? You got to
As I've said with Garbage Pail Kids, there's not enough drugs to make me watch that movie.
Okay. You're more the Sharktopus person.
No.
How about Sharktaconda?
No.
Those are great films. Movie. Fuck. Yeah.
See, this is why drugs are bad, people, because you end up liking movies like this.
Yeah, but I don't take drugs. Actually, I take the fucking heart.
I mean the bad stuff. I mean the really, really, really bad stuff.
Hey, I like the really, really bad stuff. It's cool. Especially when you do a Mystery Science Theater 3000 movie night. I just imagine some of those that Felicia Day does. Those are probably funny as shit. Sitting there with Fillion and Will Wheaton and then, you know, going and doing the Mystery Science Theater 3000 thing and watching these terrible movies like Mosquito.
You don't even know what I'm talking about, do you?
No. Don't want to.
Good. Neither do I, because I'm images
You're
of...
confused at this
images
moment.
Of... What?
Cocaine is a hell of a drug.
I'm trying to wash out images of drug addicts who are doing this new shit that's just horrifying.
Yeah, well, you shouldn't be thinking about that stuff.
I know, but you're going off on a tangent on bad movies, and we're both going off tangents on bad movies.
Yeah, well, don't you ever have a Mystery Science Theater night over at the Love Shack?
Good. Love to, but I'm not going to have, like, 20 people here just bumping in the over here making a hell of a lot of noise.
Of course you do.
No, I'm not having the cops come here and banging on the door.
Coming over and watch let me see, Santa Claus versus the Martians. That one.
No, I'm not having the cops coming over, banging on the door, saying, "What's going on here?" No, I'm not. No, not happening.
Oh, come on. That's great. It's not a good Mystery Science Theater night unless you got the cops coming to the door.
I'm not diplomatic enough to invite them and say, "Hey, you want to come in? We have a good party." No, they're not. They with my luck, they wouldn't. I'd still get in trouble no matter what happens.
Yeah. Oh well, you know. Yeah, you'd probably be one of those type of people that if the cops put out, "Oh, you know, we got an Ebola scare, so you need to, you know, it's you know, there we found drugs with Ebola in it, so you need to bring your cocaine to the nearest police station to have it scanned." That really actually happened. Can you believe that, Mr. Highland? That there was this stupid lady that actually did go to her local police station with her bag of cocaine to get it checked for Ebola.
Oh, God.
Oh, yeah. So, anyways. So, yeah, I mean, you know, when it came to the ending of that film, I mean, it was like, oh, my God.
What?
Cocaine is a hell of a drug.
Definitely. That's all I got to say about it. That was the wackiest fucking ending I ever saw.
I know, they kind of ripped off Highlander. Well, a little bit.
Really?
Yeah, they, with the decapitation.
Oh, that. I wasn't even talking about that. I was talking about the futuristic fucking night.
Oh, that.
Oh, 99 years later bullshit. That fucking shit was like, fuck you, yeah, no. You're not going there. Oh, my God.
It would have been funny if they had another ending tacked onto that, like 200 years from then. They're in a desert, and it's just to them two. And it's like, "Oh, you ready to do this again? Yeah. Are you ready? Yeah."
That was the most tackiest ending I've ever seen. I'm sorry. God. You know, that finished me on it. I mean, I was sitting there, tears running down my face at the end of that movie, and then they come up with that ending, and I'm going, "Fuck no!"
Yeah, so the recommendation for this movie, that was basically false advertising.
Recommendation for me would be, okay, if you're actually going to believe a bunch of idiots who tell you to go and watch this movie, you're going to need a huge bag of cocaine and drink yourself into the hospital because you don't want to watch this movie. You need to go into the hospital before turning this movie on.
Well, if you must know, the recommendation was from Bloody Disgusting.
Yeah, I can gather that. Because those guys are fucking idiots, too. Oh, my fucking God. Yeah, the guy probably paid them for the recommendation. Oh, my God. Woo! Of course, you know, seriously, they've recommended so many fucking tacky-ass fucking films. I mean, seriously, Mr. Island, you got to remember that if you pay Bloody Disgusting $450, they'll recommend your film like crazy.
Oh.
They'll sit there and they'll put their name on your box and say, yeah, this is the greatest horror film of the decade. From Bloody Disgusting. Yeah, that's them. Ugh. Anyway, so we're almost out of time. Anything left to say to the fans?
Let's see, what review would I give this? I would give this 1.5 out of, what is it, 5 that we have?
Yeah.
Yeah, 1.5 out of 5.
I'm going
what
negative
about you?
Numbers. I'm going -1 myself.
That's it? Just -1?
-1 and a bag of cocaine.
Okay, do the math there.
Cocaine is a hell of a drug.
Okay, folks, trying to figure the math out with that. Because I can't.
Yes, indeed. That's that Wolfpack logic. Anyway, so we are going to be kicked off in just a few moments. In a minute, exactly. So, keep America strong, watch horror films, and all that. And avoid this film with the plague, because you do not want the pain that I suffered.
Unless you do want it.
Find something good, a good Asian film to watch. Because this was a nightmare.
Yeah, it's an intervention in itself, you might say.
Yes, it was. You know, it's a visual.
A lot
anal
of horror movies are like that.
It's a visual anal probe for you. That's exactly what it is.
Wow.
Yeah, it cleans your system really bad.